Number one, if everybody's been obedient tonight, I am going to give you a short overview of the book tonight. We have studied through this book in our little school, and I don't know if it blessed anybody but me, but I just got fired up in the school. I didn't show out or let on, but I'm telling you, as we studied through that book, it was just setting me on fire. And I don't know, I might not be able to help you much with it. But I want to try to give you just a few little truths tonight. Maybe if the Lord's willing, I can come back and fill in some of the blanks. And so I want to read the first chapter, if I could. It's 28 verses, rather lengthy for a Wednesday night reading. But that's what I want to do if the Lord will be my helper. I'm going to start in chapter 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And that's what we need, the hand of the Lord upon us. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the soles of the feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They four had... Let me back up and read that again. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four had also the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness. And their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and the rings were full of eyes round about them forward. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their Spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the Spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two wings which covered on this side, and every one had two wings which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. At the appearance of the bow that's in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Now I want you to get that. I know all this we've been reading, you're sitting there, and in your mind it's just bouncing around. But I want you to notice what he said. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. What was he looking at? Right there is what he was looking at. What's the idea of the wheels? Most writers say that was the throne chariot come down to talk to Ezekiel. That's what most of them say. You can do what you want to with it, but that's what, if you're a student, that's what you'll read. But here's what the Bible says. This was, what we just read, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now that's Ezekiel saying that. And so here we have, as we come to this book, and tonight what I want to give you is just an overview. I get lost sometimes. I can just start reading chapters and I lose my path. I don't know where I've been. I don't really know where we're going. All I know is where I'm at right now. What I want you to see is Ezekiel, why he wrote the book, and just give you a little bit of a breakdown on it tonight. Now, here's what I think. I think the Lord's coming down to call Ezekiel. I believe that. I believe what's happening is the Lord, and we're going to see it in chapter 2 and 3. Let me just flip over here and see what... Turn with me to chapter 2. Let's just read a little in chapter 2. And he said unto me, Son of man, here's what's happened. Ezekiel's seen this vision of the throne, chariot. I think the Lord's come down to call Ezekiel to prophesy to the people. And he says in the last part of verse 28, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit, verse 2, entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man. Now here's the call. Here's God speaking to Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now, here's what I've just in our reading, and then I'm going to back up and give you a little background here. In our reading, chapter number 1, God, the glory of God has come down to Ezekiel. Now, who was Ezekiel? What was Ezekiel? Look in verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel
what? The priest. He never held the office of a priest because he was carried into captivity, but he was a priest. He was set aside to go to God on behalf of the people. That's what a priest does. A prophet comes from God to the people. A priest goes from the people to God. And so he was a priest. He's also a prophet, we're going to see, as we work through the, if we work through the book here. But as we look here, he was never that, but he was carried into Babylonian captivity. Now, there was three aspects to the captivity. Does everybody know about the captivity? Babylonian captivity. What happened? Who was carried into captivity on the first siege or whatever words you want to use? Do you remember? It was Daniel. That's exactly right. Daniel, the children, nobility. The king come in. We can go to Daniel. If I was to go over to Daniel chapter 1, and maybe we should tonight, but I'm not going to. Over in Daniel, or I am for me, but you don't have to turn. In Daniel chapter 1, we see the king came in. He got part of the vessels of the house of God and carried them into the land of Shinar. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of God. And he got some children who had potential. Nobility is what I like to say. And so that was the first captivity. And that happened in 605 B.C. I'm giving you these dates because it'll help you understand. 605, 605 years before Christ was born, Daniel was carried into Babylonian captivity. Now, did they burn Jerusalem at that time? Was Ezekiel carried into captivity at that time? No. No. Just some vessels out of the house of God. Daniel and some of the noble children. But then, 8 years later, Ezekiel's carried into captivity. 8 years later, he comes back, and they call this the first, it's the second siege, but it's the first deportation. And the reason they call it the first carrying away of the people, the first was not many people. But the second one was a large group of people, and I should have wrote the numbers down and didn't. But Ezekiel this time, Daniel's already in captivity. Now, where did they take Daniel to? Was he out by the river? Was he out in the woods somewhere? Where was Daniel operating at? He's in the palace, that's right. He's operating around the king, around the dignitaries. He's around the crown and the throne and the upper crust of society. In fact, he's going to be a prime minister before he's through. And so now you've got Daniel in the king's palace, but now they're carrying Ezekiel out 8 years later. And where does Ezekiel end up at? The common people. Where does it say he ended up at in verse 3? By the river Kibar. I believe that's how that would be pronounced. By the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. So Daniel has come down, and I mean Daniel's in the king's palace, but Ezekiel, he's down by the river bank, if I can say it that way. He's among the captives. Daniel's with the crown, he's with the king, and here is Ezekiel, he's with the common man. He's with the captives down by the river. And so, we've got two men of God. Did they know each other? I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe, maybe not. But there was another one that was there as well. And he's still back in Jerusalem. In fact, he stays there. He survives all three sieges. And his name's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, after the three sieges, and they turned the walls down. Let me stay on track here. Okay, so we have the first siege, 605. And 8 years later, Daniel's taken in 605. 8 years later, you have the second siege, Ezekiel's taken. And then 9 to 10 years later, they have 586 B.C. It's the last siege. Do you know what happened with Jerusalem the last time Babylon come up? They tore the walls down. They burned the city down. They tore the temple down. Can I just say it this way? they leveled it. Hey, the first time the enemy came, they didn't destroy Jerusalem. I believe God's granting them a space of repentance. That's just my opinion. I believe God did not want to destroy Jerusalem and tear the temple down. I'm comfortable He didn't want to do that. And I think He was trying to get their attention. And just got a little worse and a little worse. And the third time, they carried them off. They just leveled it. Now they did leave a remnant. They did leave a remnant of people in Jerusalem. And one of that remnant was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was left. He's an old man now. If you put all the numbers together, he's an old man. And shortly later, after that third siege, they start saying, here's what the remnant says. We need to go down to Egypt so we can escape the fourth siege, if there is a fourth siege. And they come to Jeremiah and said, hey, what do you think? And Jeremiah said, no, we're supposed to stay here. Well, guess what happened? They didn't heed the man of God, and they went to Egypt. And they took Jeremiah with him. So here's the three men of God. You have one in Egypt. You have one in Babylon, in the palace. And you have one out by the riverbank with the common people. And so here is Ezekiel, and God... They say, I don't know how they say this. I'm going to give it to you because I've read it. You do with it what you want. They say he was 5 years in captivity, 30 years old, before God came and spoke to him. I can't prove that to you. I'm not smart enough to do that. There may be some who can. It may be a historical account. I don't know. But here's what I'm saying. Ezekiel, when he writes this book, he's among the captives by the riverbank. That's where he's at. Now, I want you to look in Psalms 26. If I can find it real quick. I said Psalm 26. Let me see where it's at. Psalm 137. I'm way off. Psalm 137. I want you to see where the people's at and where Ezekiel is at. Here's what it says in Psalm 137. This is the beginning of the captivity. This is when the people get down to Kibar by the river bank. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mercy. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. It's almost as if they're belittling their God and making fun of them. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And here's their response. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember me, let my tongue cleave the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall be he that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. So this is where the people's at. The people are sad. They're defeated. They're weeping. And while they're there in that condition, God comes to the man of God and begins to deal with his heart and begins to show him things. And I guess my point is this. Hey, the whole world can live defeated, but you still have victory in the Lord. Here's Ezekiel, and God's going to call him to preach to these folks who are defeated. Now, let's go just a little bit farther. I want you to see the situation, and then I'm going to break this book down real quick. And so Ezekiel's been brought down to the rivers of Babylon. It doesn't say he's in Babylon, but by the river Kibar. which is close to Euphrates, and they say it's some distance from Babylon. But he's in that country, if I can say it that way. And so he's been brought down. And from the time, what he's writing is between the second siege and the third siege. What he's writing is from the time he's taken captive, and he's going to write about between these 9 to 10 years to when they level Jerusalem. Now, here's what I want you to understand, that he had a twofold ministry. His ministry was twofold. Number one was declare judgment. You see, here's what he was up against. During this time, there were false prophets by the river Kibar saying, hey, everything's going to be all right. Don't you worry. You're getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. They're going to turn you back. We're going to be back, and everything's going to work out okay. You don't need... Well, I suspect there were some leaders of Israel telling those false prophets, don't you preach a discouraging message. You encourage the people. When Jeremiah was saying, yes, you're going into captivity, and you might as well cooperate. You're going to be there 70 years. Hey, they were trying to kill him as a traitor. You're trying to discourage and demoralize the people. Well, here it's coming on more. Here's more of the same. Hey, those false prophets, they've been two sieges already. And in 10 years, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. Or wherever they're at in between there. And so Daniel is dealing with these false prophets trying to preach a message of false hope. A false hope. And the people, keep in mind too, another problem he's facing, the people want nothing to do with God. That's why they're in captivity. They would not receive the man of God's message, and they would not heed God, and they turned a hard heart, a stubborn heart, and a stiff neck to God, and God cared, and he's having to preach to these people. So he's got two things against him as he gets ready to preach. He has to overcome these false prophets. And he has to overcome this indifference of God's people. They would not listen to his message. We don't want to hear that gloom and doom stuff. You're going to be in Babylon 70 years. We don't want to hear that. The other prophets saying, hey, you're going back here in just a little bit to Jerusalem. Oh, isn't that where we're at today? Don't tell me anything negative, preacher. Make me feel good. Tell me what I want to hear. Give me a message of hope. I'm going to tell you, when we leave God out, there is no hope. You understand that? When God's left out, all you have left is the judgment of God. That's all that's there. It may not be tomorrow or next week or next month, but if somebody doesn't repent and turn back to God and pray the mercy of God down, I'm telling you, when you refuse God, judgment's coming. There is no positive message. That's where we're at. That's where he's at. He's not got a pleasant, ear-tickling message. And so here he is, and we see God. He sees the glory of God come down, and God comes down and calls him. He's saying, hey, I'm sending you to these captives to preach to them. Now, he was there, but he meant I'm sending you to them with a message. And so here he is to the people that won't hear. Do you ever wonder why Daniel acted out his messages? And I don't know if I learned this or I just believe this to be so. I believe he acted on, I said Daniel, Ezekiel. You know why he acted out many of his messages? Can I tell you why? I think because the people wouldn't listen. They wouldn't heed his verbal message, so he just acted them out. And that gets your attention, does it not? I mean, when somebody's acting something out, or just, you just see it'll catch your eye. I believe that as we work through Daniel, you'll see him, or Ezekiel, you'll see him do some strange things. And he does it because they won't listen to a message, but they'll watch him put on show. Or put on that might not be the right word for it, but you understand what I'm saying, put on a display of what he's trying to get across. And so here's what we see with Ezekiel. Here's the false prophets. First three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, the glory of God comes down and calls him. That's the first thing. And then we see in chapters 4 through verse 24, he preaches the judgment on Judah. He preaches judgment. He tells them judgment is coming. Now, why would he preach judgment's coming when they're already in captivity? Why would he preach that? Looks like just because they wouldn't listen, and judgment has not been finalized. Because remember, from the time he went in captivity to the third siege was 9 or 10 years. During that 9 or 10 years, them false prophets are telling these folks in captivity, you're going back. Ezekiel knew better. They wasn't going back. They had 70 years in Babylonian captivity. God, Jeremiah prophesied. And so they're not going back. And so from chapter 4 to chapter 24, Ezekiel's saying, hey, the false prophets are wrong. Judgment is coming to Jerusalem. God is going to judge Judah. You're not going back. So now, here's what I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to see the whole picture of the book. The first three chapters, the glory of God comes down, commissions and calls Ezekiel. That's the first three chapters. In chapters 4 through verse 24, Ezekiel, attacking the false prophets, false message of hope, says, God's going to judge Judah. God's going to judge Judah. But now I want you to notice, if you look in Ezekiel 25 through verse 32, his message changes. His message changes. He's not preaching the judgment on Judah anymore. You know what he's preaching now? Judgment on the Gentile nations. He's preaching judgment on the Gentile nations. Why is that? See, before they were arrogant, they were refusing the truth, and he's preaching judgment's coming. Judgment's come, they're defeated, now he starts preaching an encouraging message. At one point he's trying to strip them of their pride and their false sense of hope, and he preaches judgment. Judgment comes, they're whipped. And from 25 through 32, he says, hey, I know we're whipped. I know it's bad. But can I tell you, there's a God in heaven still cares about you. There's a God in heaven's going to fight your enemies for you. There's a God in heaven going to win the battle. And he starts preaching about the judgment that's coming on the Gentile nations. That's what he's preaching. That's chapters 25 through 32. In chapter 25, he preached the judgment of Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia. In chapter 26 through 28, he preaches the judgment of Tyre and Sidon. In chapters 29 through 32, the judgment of Egypt. If I've got my chapters right. And so, the reason he's preaching the judgment on Gentile nations is to encourage this crowd that they know now that they were lied to. The false prophets were lying. There is no hope. The walls are gone. The wall, you know, Nehemiah comes back and builds the wall in Jerusalem, the temple. The temple's burnt down. The wall's gone. There's nothing left. There's nothing there. They know. They're in problems now. Now Jeremiah's saying, hey, God's going to fight your enemies for you. I said, Jeremiah, Ezekiel says to him now, hey, God's going to fight your enemies for you. I know it's bad. I know it looks bad. But let me tell you, there's a God in heaven going to fight your battles. He starts encouraging. So when you read 25 through 32, you need to keep that in mind. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. But then we come down to Ezekiel 33 through 48, and he prophesies of the restoration of Israel. Not only is he going to fight your battles, he's going to build you back. He's going to restore you. Well, when is that really going to be? Well, ultimately, that's going to be in the millennial reign. But, of course, we know Ezra. I mean, we know Zerubbabel come back, built the temple. We know Nehemiah built the wall, and it wasn't what it ought to be. Some of them cried because it's so pitiful compared to the first one. Others rejoiced. We understand that. And there was a return there. There was a rebuilding there, but Ezekiel takes it farther. And when you read chapters 33 through 48, you'll see the millennial temple and the millennial worship and the millennial land and what that's all about. You'll see that the holiness of God comes back when the temple's built. And what that's all about is to encourage these folks in captivity. So here's what you have as you look at the book of Ezekiel. And this is just a thumbnail sketch, and please don't pin me down to the very verse or anything like that. But in chapters 1 through 3, the glory of God comes down and commissions and calls Ezekiel to, if I can say it, prophesy to the people, preach to the people, the common people who are at the river Kebar. They're discouraged, chapter 126. Psalm 126 tells us they're discouraged and cast down. But the false prophets are saying, hey, you're going back. Everything's going to be okay. It won't be long. You'll be back in your land. Don't get upset. We're going to encourage you. And Ezekiel's saying, no, that's not so. Chapter 4 through chapter 24, that's what he's talking about. He's preaching judgment. Judgment's coming. You need to. And what it done for me, I don't know if it does anything for anybody, but to just have it from chapter 1 to chapter 48 and kind of see the big picture, it helps me understand it better. It helps me get a grasp of it. I can't explain chapter 1, all them wheels in a wheel and all. I do believe that's a throne chariot. I'm convinced that's what it was. God came down and in His glory dealt with Ezekiel and sent him to the people. And so, as we progress along, that's really all I wanted to get across to you tonight. I just want you to see the overall. And if God will help me, I'm not going to preach this verse for verse, but if the Lord will allow me to and doesn't change my mind, I'm just fired up on this right now for whatever reason. I'm just stirred up about it. I surely hope He'll let me preach chapter 38 and 39 too. I mean, I sit there and listen 38 and 39 downstairs the other night. Man, I could have got up and made a laugh. I mean, it stirred my soul. And those of you in that class think I'm silly. Because we're sitting there saying, oh my, it's 9 o'clock and we got, you know, I understand all that. But it was firing me up. I'm telling you, there's some help in this book here. So keep in mind, this is all I want to get to you tonight. Ezekiel went down on the first deportation, second siege. 9 years later, they destroyed Jerusalem. The false prophets were telling those that were carried away on that second siege that, hey, don't worry, you're going back. Ezekiel has to counteract that message. He has to counteract that false message. He's dealing with people. They're stiff-necked and hard-hearted against God. They don't want to hear, but he's still supposed to preach it. We'll see that as we look in chapter 2 and 3. He tells them, don't be afraid of them. You just preach. They'll know a prophet's been among them, if nothing else. And so, he has to go to those people. And he's called to do that in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then in chapters 4,4 through 24, he says, Judah's getting judged. In chapters 25 through 32, Jerusalem's been leveled. The people's discouraged. And he says, hey, don't you worry, God's going to fight your enemies for you. He's going to fight the Gentiles. And he goes through the judgment on the Gentile nations. And then in chapters 33 through 48, he talks about the restoration of Israel. And if you keep all that in your mind, if you just keep those little divisions in your mind, there's a lot of other little divisions between and in there, but you keep that in your mind, it'll really help you understand this book of Ezekiel. It'll give you some understanding on it. And so here, just keep that outline in your mind and realize, now, they were gone 70 years, they came back to the land. But there's also a parallel 70 week of years that you got to look at as well.
And we're still dealing with some of that. And that takes some time to explain out. But there is some great truth there. We'll look at that if the Lord will help us. But first thing I want to do is try to get you to see the overall of Ezekiel. Get the overall picture. His calling, judgment on Judah, judgment on the Gentile nations, and the restoration of Israel. First thing was to deal with their haughty spirit, their pride, their false hope of going back. The second was to encourage them in their discouragement. And so if you get that, it'll help you tonight. Well, I'm not going to... It's very rare I don't give an altar call, but I'm not going to tonight. I just kind of want you to get a view of that. Get that kind of in your head, what Ezekiel's talking about. And then when we read and look at some of these things, if you know where that's at in that outline, you'll know what his overall purpose is about. All right, that's the message tonight. Let's ask God's blessings upon it before we go this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I thank you for helping me tonight. And Lord, I ask you to take these little truths and Lord, make them as alive to your sheep as you did to me. Father, make them as interested to them as it was to me. Father, please help me and use me to be a help to them. Have your blessed way now. Oh, Father, help us now in these last days. Give us holy boldness and use us for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, you're at liberty. God bless you.